Let's believe God. You know what? And I'm going to preach myself happy again today, because I'm telling you, there's some good stuff going on. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 7. I call this message, What to Do in a Storm. What to Do in a Storm. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I was reading that this week, and this sentence just popped up in my heart. We're in storm season. We're in storm season. The wind and the waves and the rain are beating against the walls of truth in the world. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see it. You can just see the stuff that's trying to take hold in countries that we never even thought before. You know, here in Canada, having to deal with some of the things that we're looking at, but there's an attack on truth. And you have to stop and think, okay, we're in a storm season. When you know that and you can see it in the world, it's actually a little bit helpful, because then you can go, wait a minute, it's beating on my house as well. You know, I was away last week speaking at another conference, and the week before, I had three people come up to me in between services when the first announcements had just come out the few days before that, and said to me, either I go to school and I'm supposed to university, I'm supposed to get these shots, or I work for, two of them said, I work for Alberta Health Services. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because there's something when the storm is out there, but it's something when the rain and the wind starts to hit your house. And you guys, there's only one place to go when the rain hits your house. There's only one thing that doesn't change that Jesus said, if you build your life on it, you'll get through, and that's this. Amen. That's you going to what is in this book when the storm starts to hit. And you know, it's kind of interesting, because we find out, you know, what's shaking. We find out when things start to rattle, you know. We lived in Oklahoma for 2 years, and they have tornadoes. It was like Tornado Alley. And back in those days, we'd never had a tornado, you know, that I could remember here in Canada, one somewhere. And I remember we drove to school the next morning, and we were on tornado watch. Well, we were in a condo, and we were on the second floor. So the tornado came. We had nowhere to go. It was like, you know, go and get in the bathtub and pray. But I remember saying to the Lord, and my wife and I talked about this, God sent us down here to go to Bible school so that we could learn what we need to learn, so we could go into the ministry, so there's no tornadoes going to come by and tear up the house and kill us, because that is not God's plan for us. And you know what? When you can set your faith on something like that, I never saw it. I'm waiting for the replay when we get to heaven, but I believe God just sends tornado angels down, and they just stand there outside your house talking to each other, waiting to see if there's a tornado that comes along. And what was interesting was we drove to school the next day, the night when the tornadoes had gone through, and there was a job site, and I grew up working on my dad's job sites, and so the job shack was a trailer, a 50-foot truck trailer that they just had made, put the desks in and put a couple of lights in, and that thing had been picked up and spun around and thrown across the road, and of course they're flimsy, right, and they're square, and the wind twisted it and busted open both ends. And the thing that made me feel bad for them was all of the papers from all of the contractors and the bills and the checks and everything was spread all over this farmer's field about a quarter of a mile in every direction. And I remember looking, and what they'd done in the building up to that point is they'd put the steel studs in. And all the steel studs were all just turned around and curled up on the floors. It was just like they'd been spun. And it was my first sort of awareness of, what is a storm really like when the storm comes home? And one of the things that we have to realize right now is we're in a storm season, okay? It's storming out, and when it's storming, you do things differently than when it's a nice sunny day. Down there in Oklahoma, people would take sheets of half-inch plywood and screw them in to their house over the windows. And you've seen it. You've seen pictures of hurricane preparation and stuff like that. Well, You and I have to be thinking that way. Let me just say this. What you've done so far to just make sure that things are fine in the house, you have to bring it up a couple of notches in storm season. Right? You have to do more. You have to protect yourself more in storm season. You have to put barricades up more in storm season. You have to get ready in storm season so that when that sucker comes off the ocean like it just did in Newfoundland this week and it hits your house, that some of your chairs and some of your umbrellas are going to go flying and some of that stuff you have out on the patio to have guests over and sit out, some of that stuff might be gone, but the walls of your house stand because you've been prepared for this thing and it hits and you just stand there, you just wait on the inside and you thank Jesus and you let the storm pass over.
Amen.
It's an interesting thing. A month ago there, they had that tornado in Barrie, Ontario. How many of you remember that one? Made the news all across the... That was a week before 12 of us met there with a group of people from all across the nation to talk and pray about what God wants to do in Canada right now. And that tornado came down that street where the church was. And when it came to two houses away from the church, it lifted up and went over the church and landed on the other side. Because God knew something going to happen in that church, and I'm going to spare that church so I can do what I need to do because something's coming down from heaven. It's just neat when you hear that kind of stuff. And I've known that pastor for 25 years, and he goes, yeah. And we went down the road, and he showed me the houses. I mean, roofs pulled right off, sides of houses ripped off, you know, the whole thing like that. So when you know you're in a storm season, you have to do things more than you normally do. And I want you to hear that this morning because some of you are just kind of going along with, well, I just keep reading my devotions and loving Jesus. No, it's time to buck up a little bit. It's time to put on an extra coat. It's time to put the shield of faith up and go, okay, this sucker's going to hit, but my shield of faith will take care of this. And what that means, I'm going to show you this morning and how to do it. I remember that since COVID started, there was a spirit of fear released on the world, and I shared that a few weeks back here. That my wife and I came home from a holiday in Mexico for 2 weeks, and I couldn't believe the fear here. Everyone was so afraid. And we'd been out of touch with it down there in Mexico, and so when we came back here to hear people talking about this thing's going to kill people, and I thought, you know, I'm a rational person, so I kind of thought through, okay, we don't really know much about this. There's all kinds of warnings, and so we went along with everything because we really didn't know, right? Everything was shut down. We shut the church down, and all that kind of stuff, stayed home. And it took about 2 days, and once I dealt with it rationally and thought, okay, it's an influenza, you know, could be very dangerous. Nobody knows yet, but I was still feeling that fear right here. You ever notice how fear grabs you in your gut? You feel fear the same place you feel love. Right? You just, it's like, right there. And I remember I said to my wife after 2 days, I said, there's a spirit pushing this thing. And she said, I know, I'm feeling the same thing. I said, well, let's deal with the spirit. Let's go after that fear. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is this. And it took us 3 days to do it. It took me 3 days. She might have got it quicker. But I remember standing up the first day and had to do it, you know, throughout the day. And then the second day, it was a little bit less. And then the third day, it was a little bit less. And by the fourth day, it was gone. The thing right here wasn't there anymore. And I found something out, because we've been in this now for, what, almost 18 months, 19 months, that for people who didn't deal with that spirit, that fear has continually morphed into other things for people to be afraid of.
Yes.
And there's some people now that are afraid of everything to do with this. They're afraid of COVID. You don't have to be afraid of COVID. Look at me. Don't be afraid of COVID. Not only from the Bible, but the fact that the statistics are absolutely clear now that less than 1% of people die from it. Less than 1%. And if you're over 80 and you have serious physical illnesses, meaning you're at the tipping point already, it drops down to where you only have a 94% chance of living. If I got 94 when I was in school on a test, I felt like I'd died and gone to heaven. I was happy with 70%. Now, I know some of you get A's, straight A's all the time. That was not my calling. But people are afraid of COVID, afraid of the variants, afraid of the vaccinated, or afraid of the unvaccinated. afraid I could lose my job, and on and on and on. And I'm telling you something, the devil is working through his prophets, the media, to push that spirit of fear on us all the time. The very first thing that you have to do, if you're going to build on his sayings so that your foundation is strong and you get through all of this, the very first thing, you have to banish fear. And you know, fear comes in many packages. It comes as anxiety. Oh, yeah, gosh, what's it? It comes as stress. Oh, what are we going to do if I don't have enough money? It comes, if you go to a horror movie, as outright. I hope nobody here goes to horror movies. I cannot go to horror movies. I have never been able to go to horror movies. Because that fear, once, especially since I became a Christian, when I came back to the Lord at 19, if I even watch one of the commercials, that fear tries to get on me. Well, when you haven't been afraid for so long, then you all of a sudden fear that again, and you're like, wait a minute, I don't like that. I'm not having that. Man, oh man. Sometimes we do things. Somebody said, well, I like the thrill. It's like, oh, here he comes, and I know they're going to die. Don't go in that room. You shouldn't go in that room. Everybody knows you shouldn't listen to the music. The music tells you not to go in that room. And they go in the room, and you know what happens? They get eaten by giant rodents. But that fear thing, you guys, you've got to get a hold on that. You've got to govern that thing because it'll govern you.
That's right.
Now, Isaiah 41, I want you to go there with me. I'm going to give you some things, to deal with fear. And then we'll finish up talking about what's coming down the pipe. Isaiah 41, verse 8. And I'm going to read this as though it's written to us in his church. Isaiah 41, 8. But you, church, are my children, my bride whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now look over at Isaiah 43. And you take those scriptures, and you stand on those scriptures. You watch the devil flee. And I'll show you this in a minute, but I want to read this second scripture. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I called you by your name. You are mine. Whoa, that's a good scripture right there. That is like the Lord of hosts possessively saying, you're mine, boy. Right? You're mine. You're mine. You're mine. All you can do with that is go, yep, okay. And just give place to it. Just agree with it. Say, yes, I am yours. The protectiveness that comes from that, the awareness of ownership, you know, that's one of the sayings that you hear that people say now, young people more, but, you know, oh, man, we were playing such and such a team. We totally owned them. Jesus totally owns you. Some of you, that you're a little bit old, you're like, what? Look it up. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, I want you to notice something here. Don't put Savior in the past tense. He was your Savior. But he's your Savior today. He didn't stop being. And see, we take, well, he was my Savior, you know. He was my Savior, my Redeemer. We put it on our back. No, he's your Savior in the middle of a world that's struggling with COVID and vaccines and control from governments and you can't travel anymore. It's like, no. Wait a minute. He's my Savior today. He's my Savior right now. Jesus, my Savior on September the 12th, 2021. Jesus is my Savior today. He's my Savior right now. Oh, he's going to be my Savior tomorrow. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for being my Savior on Sunday. Yeah. Thank you being my Savior today. You've got to bring that ahead. And you know what? Faith is never yesterday.
That's right.
The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is. So if it's not now, it's not faith.
Right.
So you've got to say, yesterday's faith was good because Jesus was my Savior yesterday, and he was my Savior back there when I got born again, but you got to bring that forward. He's my Savior today. Amen. He is saving me today. If that's his job, if that's his title, if that's his anointing in his office, that means he's saving you today. And that's where you plant your faith. He's saving me today. I am, he said, I am your Savior. What applies to Israel here applies to the church in us now. Thank you for being my Savior today. I found this out many years ago. You have to deal with fear ruthlessly. And you know what? The best way to deal with fear is get mad at it. I found that out years ago. When we'd be afraid, I'd be afraid. I'd think, wait a minute. And this was an interesting revelation. If a spirit of fear is after you, he's putting the fear that he feels from God and the kingdom on you. So he's afraid of you. So what he does is turns that fear around and throws it at you so you'll be afraid of him because it's the only weapon he's got. When I realized that spirits of fear were afraid of me, I was like, whoa. Because all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute, you trying to put that on me? You're the one that's afraid? So I remember one time, we had a house. I was associate pastor in a church of about 100 people, and one of the leaders, one of the elders, they were having spooky manifestations in their house, and there was a sin that had happened there in the house that we found out about, which is usually, if you check into any haunted place, the reason it's haunted is because somebody sinned. There was a murder-suicide, or a rape, or Satanism, or something like that. And so you defile the land. When you defile the land, the flies come to the poop, which is what Jesus said. The flies are drawn. The devil is Lord of the flies. So you have spooky things happen in the house, right? I mean, you look at the Amityville Horror, and it was based on a true story, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, this guy said, we got weird stuff happening in our house. And so we found out, okay, well, what happened? And he told us what happened. And so there was myself and about four or five of the elders and the pastor. We went over to the house. And we gathered in the living room, and we were praying and just, you know, praying. And as they're praying, I've got my antenna out. You know, so people are praying, and I'm going and I'm listening for, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it? We know what the sin was, so what kind of spirit then comes? And I happened to open my eyes, and I was standing at the place where we were in the living room, where I could look straight down the hall into the bedroom at the end. And it's interesting when you have things that you never forget. And so I'm standing there, and I just happened to look as the elders are praying, and I look down there at the hall, and the doorway at the end, which I found out later was where the sin happened, this fear just went, and I was like, and all the hair in the back of my neck stood up, you know, because you're feeling it, right? You're feeling, and what it was, and there, that spirit, and now, I mean, he's down there, and he's going, and he's trying to, and so as soon as they finished the prayer, and I was waiting, I was like, come on, finish praying. Enough praying. We got to go deal with it. And I remember turning around and grabbed my Bible, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I put the blood of Jesus over this house, and I command you to go from it. That thing was gone before I got to the door. And you do something like that, and then it's like, oh, because you realize the fear of that spirit was trying to get me. And he was gone before I even got to the doorway. And that, you know, and it was funny because I was just learning some of this stuff, right? We'd learn from Lester Summerall and some of the others about how this spiritual stuff works, and that happened. And I remember I went in there and got that thing dealt with. I came out, and everybody else wanted to keep praying. They kept praying for another 45 minutes. And I was like, well, okay, let's pray. I mean, he's gone. You know, it's kind of like surgery. I mean, if you pulled the cancer out, let's button the thing up and carry on with life. Give him a few vitamins or something, you know. And so we kept on praying, and they were praying and doing, and I was glorifying God. And it was a lesson for me. But what I realized was that spirit of fear was afraid of me, and I realized the way to get rid of fear is to get mad at it. Yeah. I'm telling you, I should take up another offering. That is a nugget right there. The way to get rid of fear is get mad. You can transition, listen to me, you can transition the emotion of fear into anger. Yeah. and you can turn it, and it's a righteous anger. What do you think Jesus had when he walked into the temple? He was mad. That wasn't the lamb. He walked into the temple, and he made a scourge out of cords and made it into a whip. And I'm telling you, when you're anointed to be mad, think about it. He was anointed to be mad. God has wrath. You don't want to mess with somebody that's anointed to get mad. And you are anointed to get mad. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get mad at the devil, let me show you what doesn't work. Devil, I bind you. I just bind you. Now go away. He goes, it's exactly what he does. Now we grow in our authority, but I'm going to tell you this. Any of you ever play sports and you hear all the trash talking beforehand? Okay, let's cut it. Let's cut to the chase. Don't put your hand up for this part because it'd be embarrassing if you did. Some people watch WWF. The wrestling, you know. I'm not talking about mixed martial arts where these guys beat the crap out of each other. And now the girls are doing it. Dear God. Girls that look like guys with muscles all over and they're beating up on each other. And I'm like, that is not attractive to me. But you ever watch those guys, the WWF, where the guy will come out and they'll interview him, you know, and he's like Bruno the Crusher. And he comes up to the mic and he always does the same thing. Levi, you wimp, I'm going to break your head. I'm going to take you down so hard, you're going to wish you'd never been born. I'm going to break both your legs at the same time. And they just go, wah, 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 don't they? And because you know it's fake, you're like, yeah, yeah, bring it on. Well, why don't you do that to the devil? Trash talk the devil with the word of God. I'm using it. It's a play on terms there. Devil, you going down. You are not being successful in my life. I've got the word of God. I got the sword of the Spirit. I got the armor of God. I got the anointing of God. I got the shield of the Spirit. And I take authority over you. And I break your power. In the name of Jesus, take this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That's what you got to do to the devil. And that's what some of you got to do to the spirit of fear that's been on your case for the last year and a half. If you'll do what I just told you. You know what? Go into your basement and shout. I'm telling you. You've got to use the authority that you've given you. And authority comes out with strength. And if you don't, he'll just run around and go to another room in your house. And then you walk into that room and all of a sudden some fear thought comes. That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Isaiah 54:14. Here's a great scripture. This is how you hit fear with the word. In righteousness I am established. I am far from oppression, for I shall not fear. And I'm far from terror, for it shall not come near me. I realized something years ago. Sword is spelled S-W-O-R-D. So if you add an S to word, it becomes sword. Right? So we were dealing with a lady who had some critters. And I gave her some scriptures. I said, start praying these scriptures. And for those of you that don't know what critters are, devils. And she'd been tormented for years and years and years. And so we had prayed for her. We'd had her over at the house. And then we said, okay, take these scriptures and use these scriptures. And she phones us up about 11 o'clock one night. If you remember, honey, it was when we were living in Bowness. And she phones us up at 11 o'clock one night. She goes, it's not working. They're here. And they were harassing her, right? And so we're praying for her over the phone, putting the blood of Jesus on her, stuff like that. And I'm listening on the inside. I said, God, I know that stuff works. I know the word works. What's going on? Clear as anything, come up on the inside. Ask her if she's saying it out loud. I went, oh. So I said, Michelle, listen. got her attention. She goes, what? I said, those prayers that we gave you, I said, are you saying them out loud? Well, no, I was just praying them quietly inside my head. And then I realized this, that the word doesn't become a sword until you speak it. You have to put the S. You have to put speak in front of word to make it a sword. And this is where some of us don't get it in our Canadian quiet culture, is that we pray quiet little prayers. But when it comes to this, you take the sword by saying, in righteousness I am established. I am far from oppression and from terror. It shall not come nigh me. It's when you take the word and you speak the word. You guys, Jesus didn't walk up to devils and you know, somebody that's manifesting and give them the lazy eye. I'm being funny because we have to see some of this stuff in the real. You watch, every time he ever cast out devils, he spoke. He spoke. Come out in Jesus' name. Why? Because the word became a sword when the, and you know what it says in Revelation? When he comes back on the white horse, the sword is still in his mouth. It doesn't say Jesus has a sword in his hand. It says the sword comes out of his mouth. A sharp, two-edged sword was in his mouth with which to smite the nations. Well, if the sword is going to smite the nations, then the sword in your mouth is going to fight your enemies. And if you don't open your mouth and let the word out as a voice of triumph. And it's talking about in the assembly. And one scripture says the shouts are ear-piercing shouts of joy. In the assembly. If there ever was a time you're supposed to shout, it's here. People go, well, your church is really loud. Well, it's in the Bible. I can't help it. And you know what? Your shout is the devil's worst enemy. He just hates it when somebody will shout. He just hates it, especially when you're in the middle of getting punched in the face by all the garbage that's out there in the world right now. Oh, you better get the vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, we're going to lay you off. I am far from oppression because I'm established in righteousness and from fear in Jesus. When he hits you, hit him back. When that thought comes, oh, you're going to lose your job. What are you going to do? When that thought comes, I am not dependent on the character of this world. My God supplies all my need. You have to do that. You can't just let me do it at the front of church on Sunday. You have to do it. If you don't do it, it won't work for you. All this stuff that I'm talking about, if you don't do it, you say, oh, that was a great message. Pastor was really fired up this week. Man, he spit all over the place. Look at verse 17, Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. I mean, that one right there, that should get you happy right there. No weapon for. When's the last time you said that? You know, I pray that every day. I pray Isaiah 54, 17 every day. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, spiritual, natural, viral, or bacterial, I condemn now. For this is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him. And I love the last part of that verse because it says that my righteousness is of him. So I'm not fighting the devil because I'm some kind of hotshot. I'm fighting the devil because my heritage, my inheritance that's been brought forward and put in me is of him. So he looked at me. He got me born again. And the moment I got born again, he goes, here's the breastplate of righteousness. Put that on. And you tell the devil, I am far from oppression. I'm established in righteousness. When you start doing that, the demons go, oh, no, they know too much. You have to make him leave you. Let me touch on something else here. There's nowhere in the New Testament that says that you pray to God to ask the devil to get off of you. Of the references that are in the New Testament, they are all personal. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, therefore, you go, in my name, you cast out devils. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. You resist. He didn't say, I'll resist him for you. And the kicker is James 4, 7. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. And see, we have Christians that think, well, I'll just pray and ask God to get the devil. God got the devil off you 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, it's finished. And the Bible says that he crushed the head of the serpent. and said, it is finished. That means God's done all, listen to me, God has done all he's going to do about getting the devil off of you and me because he already destroyed him. What we have to do is step into that valley of destruction and say, yeah, in the name of Jesus. And he puts a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes, amen.
And this one, 2 Timothy 1:7, God's not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know what happens when the spirit of fear gets on you? You lose power. You lose power. You know what else happens? You don't walk in love anymore. See, the spirit of fear will destroy your power, your love, and you'll start making stupid decisions. Because it says you don't have a sound mind. And I think it's interesting. You know what the devil's been really trying to do? Once you receive the spirit of fear, and I may get into this a little bit next week. Well, next week Charlie's here. Oh, wait till Charlie comes. You guys will be blessed. Charlie's been taken to heaven a number of times. Charlie's a prophet, and he's just different. But he brings something in God that releases an impartation. You don't want to miss next week. Charlie is this. I was blessed when, you know, I talked to him about 3 months ago. I said, Charlie, we haven't had you since before COVID. And I said, you need to come out. And so he phoned me back and he said, we're going to be out at such and such a time. And then we got Che On coming on September the 22nd. Che On was the guy who took the government of California on in court and said, if you leave the big box stores open and you close the churches, that is discrimination and we will take you to court. And they fought him. They had, I was thinking, 9 lawyers working against him. They were sending them emails telling them, you might as well back down now. We're going to slaughter you. We're going to put it in the news. We're going to make you look so bad. And he wouldn't quit and he wouldn't give up. And he beat them and they changed the law forever in California. Changed the law. Guys like this are guys that we need to hear right now. The guys who are carrying something in the government of God to impose that government into the world. Rabba shakalaba. Preach myself happy. Yeah. So when the spirit of fear comes, have you noticed that one of the things, first of all, it was afraid of getting COVID. And we all were afraid, right? We all had to deal with it because it came. We didn't know anything about it and the fear of the unknown, right? Then we found out, okay, it's not the killer. It's the influenza. It's a bummer. We got it. We got sick. We didn't like it. Some of us took 3 weeks to recover. Some of us took 3 months. But here we are, right? We're alive. Well, then the whole thing with the vaccine thing came up. But watch what the devil does. When you get afraid, you get scared of the unvaccinated or the vaccinated. Yeah. Right? So families can't get together because they're divided over this thing. This is happening all over, you guys. Yeah. Well, you know, somebody has said to me almost every week, oh, I'm not really sure. My family, I'm not sure if they can meet with me because they're getting, you know, they're saying that I haven't got it. And so they can't meet. Well, you see, they've given in to the long-term thing about the fact that this COVID thing can actually kill you. And it doesn't kill children at all. At all, at all, at all. Unfortunately, our premier just said a couple of weeks ago that what we have right now in the hospitals is a crisis of the unvaccinated. I'm telling you, if you listen to the top experts in the world, who coincidentally are completely banned from YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, wonder why they're banned from those things. Wonder why any other differing opinion is banned. That tells me there's a bigger picture going on, that they're not letting top scientists talk about the actual information that's there. But here's my point. Somebody said to me, well, you know, people get that vaccine, they can shed the spike protein to others around them. So, you know, in church, we shouldn't let people come. I've had people say to me, you shouldn't let people come if they've been vaccinated. And I was like, and then the humor side kicked in. I was like, well, we could, and someone actually said this to me, well, we could divide the sections up. So we could have, like, if you've had COVID, you're in that section. If you haven't had it, you're in this section. If you're vaccinated, you're in this section. And if you haven't not vaccinated, you're in this section. I thought, dear God, can you imagine all the ropes and signs we did? Hey, no hugging over there. Vax and unvax. Hey, get away from each other. What are you guys doing? You're going to shed. And here's what I realize. We have to get this. We have to walk in love No matter what anybody, what if they do reject you?
That's right.
Right? What if they do? Well, glory to God. I'll walk in love. We don't have the right to not walk in love to anybody, whether they agree with our thing or not. I've got pastor friends that got the vaccination. And I want to go, trying to act a little of this out this morning to loosen some of you up. You know what I'm saying. And then I'm thinking about it and I'm saying, Lord, I'm not going to separate myself from this person. You know, really the bottom issue here, and this is what we need to get. Whether you get the vaccine or don't get the vaccine, the government has no right to force anybody to get it or not get it. They have no right. That is a constitutional crisis. That is a break in the Constitution of this nation. Somebody wants to get it, fine. Somebody doesn't want to get it, fine. But there's no government that should be telling us, you got to get this. That's why we're fighting back. That's why I'm working with the lawyer right now, hoping by tomorrow he'll have. I sent him a letter that one church created, and I said, this is a good letter for an exemption, a religious exemption, but I said, I feel like it doesn't have enough teeth in it. And I said, I want you to take a look at that. And he said, I'll do it, because he's working with us, a couple of us churches. I said, and send that back. Why? Because we want to say to the government, you are way past your lines of authority. That is not the lines of authority that we gave you when we elected you. And I'm going to tell you something. If it doesn't come from this desk and start coming from these desks across the nation and the church doesn't stand up, then the government's going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And some of you have come from nations where you never could trust the government at all, thinking that if you came to Canada, you'd come to a place where things were good. And now we're dealing with it. And you know what? We need your prayers. Because we're sort of ignorant, dumb Canadians that just, we just kind of sleep in the freezing and think, well, things are okay and the government can't be that bad and this too shall pass. I'm telling you, this won't pass unless we help it. Time to stand up. Time to stand up. Let me share a couple more thoughts here. God's not giving me spirit. No, sit down, sit down, sit down. I so appreciate you, those of you that did. And some of you might have thought I did because I was finished, but no, that I do always say that. I had something interesting happen. Oh, this had been about 2 years ago. An old prophet I was listening to that I'd followed for over 30 years had just had something happen to him that was somewhat challenging, and the person interviewing him said, "Were you afraid?" You know, because of what happened. And he did this. He kind of looked down for a minute, and you could see he was thinking. And he looked at the person. I don't remember if it was a reporter or somebody like that. And he looked at this person, and he said, I don't remember the last time I was afraid. And I went, I want that. And I thought, you and I can live without fear.
Yes.
You can't. Be in fear and in faith at the same time. Fear will totally cancel faith, which is why Jesus said, you've got to take my sayings and build on them. So you've got to take these scriptures that we're bringing out. But I thought to myself, if he can do it, I can do it. I can live without fear. Now, let me help you with something. Don't, when you're dealing with fear, don't contextualize it to what's causing it right now. COVID. Right? Don't just, because if the devil can come up and say, oh, this little thing, and he can use COVID as a covering for a boiling pot full of poison fear, then if you take that under COVID and you go, yeah, whoa, it's a COVID thing. Then if you take the fear, then he'll come along later with a different pot, with a different cover on it and say, oh, you're going to lose your job. Oh, you're going to get cancer. Oh, you're going to die in a car wreck. I've talked to some of you. Some of you are afraid of dying in a car wreck. You're afraid, you know what? You're afraid when you drive. What that is he just takes fear, this poison pot that he has back there, and looks at whether it's cancer or COVID or the vaccination or dying in a car wreck or this or that, and he just picks whatever your thing is, and he takes that poison fear and he pours it in the pot, but it's all the same fear. So don't contextualize your fear to a single thing. Back up from that and say, fear, period. the thing called fear. In the name of Jesus. Because see, that's what the brother had done, who said, I don't remember the last time that I was afraid. And he was 80 years old. He had dealt with fear of any kind. So when fear comes, it says you're going to lose your job, then you deal with fear, not the losing of the job. Are you following me? Oh, you know, your dad had cancer and your grandpa had cancer. Oh, you know, your dad had heart disease and your grandpa had heart disease, and you'll probably get it too. You better go get your arteries checked. Well, maybe you should if you're old enough, but that's not the issue. You've got to stop and deal with that fear. I am not afraid because of what this says. I'm not going to allow him to categorize my fear, and then when I deal with that, move to something else. I'm going to deal with fear no matter how it comes. And I could tell you story after story of having to deal with this. It was one thing to deal with it in my own life, and then it was a whole other thing when I had kids. And then it was a whole other thing when I had teenage boys. Then it was a whole other thing when they got their driver's license. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Your kids get your driver's license, you know, and isn't it funny that just at that time you see on the newspaper or see on TV or something like that some terrible accident that happened with some teenage kids, you know, that drank too much and drove into the side of a bridge or something like that, and the devil brings that thing right home. And then we've talked about this before when the kids were out later than they were supposed to be. And those thoughts just go around and around and around and around and around, and you start going, oh, and you start praying fear prayers instead of faith prayers. Right? Well, it's just another categorization for fear. Don't categorize it. Deal with it as a spirit. Deal with it, even if it's, you know, people say, well, you see a devil behind every bush. Yeah, but I see two angels behind every devil, so I'm balanced. If you'll deal with it as a concept and as a whole, then no matter how it tries to come at you, you still deal with it the same way. You take those scriptures. In righteousness I am established. I am far from oppression and from terror and from fear. Let me finish up here. Let's look at a couple of things that build faith. Psalm 46. Go there with me. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is my, and let's do this. This is how you make the word a sword. Okay? So you take this, and I was reading this week. This came up this week, and I started reading it. And every time I read it, I was like, yeah. God is my refuge and strength. He's an abundantly available help in trouble. Are you in trouble right now? Well, if I don't get it, they're going to take my job. You apply right there. He's an abundantly available help. So you know what you do? Lord, I thank you. This stuff's coming down the pipe. Oh, but you're an abundantly available help. I thank you for that help right now. You're my Savior today. I thank you that you're an abundantly available help. If he's abundantly available, that means he's bursting towards you. Yeah. Do you know what El Shaddai means? It means the breasty one. It's literally what one of the definitions of El Shaddai is. And the picture there is a mother who's just had a baby who is full of milk and needs to express that milk, get that milk into that baby. Literally, you know what it's like, ladies. I remember this with our kids, that the woman, her body is saying, I've got the milk, now give it to the child. And God calls himself El Shaddai to say, I'm abundantly available. In other words, I need you to take this from me. I have more than you can deal with. Yes, it paints a whole different picture of what we think God is like, but that's he's the one that called himself that. Yes. Abundantly available help. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. Well, we're not there yet, are we? So why are we afraid? And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Well, that'd be something to see. We're not there yet either. Though the waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Wait. Are you a living stone? Are you a pillar in the house of your God? Yes. So take this out of something that's supposed to happen in heaven, because if we didn't need it till heaven, it wouldn't be written here. You can take this and apply it now, that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You know what happened this morning in the praise? That river came into the house. Yes. That river made us glad, didn't it? Yes. And you're the tabernacle of God. Yes. So the river comes in and makes the tabernacle happy. Brings joy. There is a river that makes glad. I don't know how better to explain that than to explain what happened this morning when there was irrational joy. You should have been on the floor weeping because you're going to lose your job. Instead, you were at the front dancing. And some of you, it was good. We actually got one foot going back there. So I could see one little twitch, you know. And some of you, it was a golf clap. That's okay. Just stick around for a while. I love it when God's frozen chosen get carried away. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with me. Yes. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, I heard Dutch Sheets say something really, really interesting. He said, you remember when God promised Abraham the land? He said, all this land is a promise, right? And he said, but you can't have it yet because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Meaning, in my mercy, I'm not going to judge the Canaanites and the Amorites yet because their iniquity has not reached the place where it forces me to judge. God always tries to show mercy. Yes, he does. But he said to Abraham, but they're basically said, their iniquity will come to the place where I have to judge them. And that's when he sent Israel in. And he applied it to this. He said, listen to me. He said, the evil that we're seeing in the world right now, God is waiting until that iniquity comes to the full where he goes, okay, that's it. And he starts to deal with it. And I thought, you know what? That's a really good application. Because you and I are like, God, what are you waiting for? Come on, it's not nice down here. I am moving to Costa Rica. I know, I've got friends that are going, we're moving to Mexico. Literally. So one guy told me, he said, yep, my son and his whole family, they're moving to Mexico next month. And I was like, what a. Somebody has to stay home and fight for the homeland, bless God. I'd rather go down fighting than wimping out. If you're moving to Mexico, God bless you. Sort of. Let me finish up. Go to Joel chapter 2. Hallelujah. You know what's happening right now? The devil is trying to establish his kingdom to thwart what he knows is coming. And the Bible says that. He knows his time is short, so he goes about in great wrath, seeking whom he may devour. But what was written in the books before any of this started was the greatest revival in the history of the world. Joel chapter 2 still hasn't come to pass. Its first manifestation happened with Peter. But everything that Joel prophesied didn't all come to pass. God didn't pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He poured it out upon a small group of people in Jerusalem in Israel. Yes. But we're hearing stories of the spirit being poured out upon all flesh. Yes. I was at a meeting this week with a small group of pastors because of an evangelist coming to the city, Shadi. We're doing a thing at the Saddle Dome. Not next year. We're doing the thing. Big thing. It's going to be a great thing. And one of the pastors of an Alliance church comes up to me afterwards and says, Craig, I heard about the healing at your church this week. And I went, I wanted to go, which one? Because I didn't know. Like we get, you know, people get healed. And it was one of the guys that got his wrist healed, that the bones in his wrist, and he couldn't travel. He's a successful businessman, doesn't even come here. When he gets hurt, he phones us up and says, hey, I gotta, we say, well, come to the healing room. So Clive and you guys didn't, the Gavin and Marlene prayed for him last week. Got his wrist working again. Well, apparently he put the testimony up somewhere. This Alliance pastor comes over and goes, hey, I got heard about your healing. And I was like, yeah. And I thought, I'm telling you, we're starting into it, but the days are going to come when it won't be, I heard about your healing. It'll be about, what's going on? I heard there's 20 people. I heard 3 deaf people got healed at your church last week. What's going on with that? Is it true about the kid with autism? That the kid with autism, somebody said the kid with autism got prayed for and he went back to school the next day and they said he's totally, he just says new medication, what is it? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that stuff, boy. And I'm telling you this, the devil's not going to stop it with COVID and vaccines, and he's not going to stop it with fear, and he's not going to stop it with division, and he's not going to stop it with all this stuff, because Jesus is bringing a gully-washing, world-changing revival, and we get to be in it! stand up. Really stand up. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means you. You got flesh, you're in. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Pastor Clive said he's still seeing visions. Your young men shall see visions. Also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it'll come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Somebody said, what's this generation coming to? And you know the right answer? They're coming to Jesus. That's what they're coming to. When you walk out of here today, you just remember what kingdom you're a part of. You just remember who's still your Savior. You remember who redeemed you back then, and He'll redeem you now. He'll redeem you from COVID. He'll redeem you from fear. He'll redeem you from cancer. He'll redeem you from vaccine. That's one of the things I'm believing. You know, I said, God, if this vaccine thing, if people start dying because of what it does in your blood system, I said, then you're going to give the church an anti-vax Holy Ghost anointing to pray for people that come in that just got it in innocent, and we lay hands on them, and God goes, whoop, and cleans their blood system out. Hallelujah. Come on up, Mars. I told you, I preached myself happy in the first service, because this is what we have to come back to. And the Lord spoke something to me this week. He said, son, you need to get your joy back. Because it's been hard. There's been some days, both her and I, we pray in tongues all day long. Just whatever we're doing, just because of the weight, trying to push it down.
Yeah, come on.
And I had to say, when I went to that conference last week, after that announcement that happened about everybody that we're going back into this, you guys, the plan of the globalists is to go back into masking, then it's to go back into lockdowns, then it's go back into separating things, and then to move ahead with all the vaccine passports, to move ahead to all those restrictions. That plan, I read about that plan 18 months ago. So you feel the weight of that. And I told the Lord this when I went to the conference last week. I said, God, you got to help me. I prayed in tongues all the way to Lethbridge, nuclear tongues, just out loud, hard. Because I said, you got to help me, because I don't want to get up and minister out of the wrong spirit. I want to get up and minister where there's joy and there's hope. And there's hope in the kingdom. There's joy in the kingdom. And I'm telling you this, there's victory in the kingdom. And it hadn't changed. It hadn't changed. Hallelujah. Father God, you didn't get surprised when the devil sent this mess around the world. You didn't get surprised when evil people released a bioweapon to try and bring destruction. You didn't get surprised at the plans of the elite to begin to bring control mechanisms all over the world in the name of medical health. You didn't get surprised by any of that. And you're just waiting. As we sang that song this morning, there's power in the waiting, that as we come before you, those that wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. I'm saying this for me. Forgiven into that fear and given into that weight. You need to help us. And we choose to stand up and say, wait just a minute here. He hadn't given me the spirit of fear. And I can do all things through Christ. That means I can walk right through the middle of this, and we'll see who comes out on top. We'll see by the Bible who comes out strong, who comes out well, who comes out with healing hands, who comes out with victory for me and for my family, for my grandkids, and Lord, for our church and for our city and for our province and for our nation. In the natural, the storm clouds are making all kinds of noise. Oh, but wouldn't it be something if you just messed up the election and caused everything to get turned upside down? But even if you did, we look past that because we don't have faith in the government. Our faith is based in one thing. That's you and your word. And I believe that's part of why that you're letting this happen, because you're teaching us. We don't have anywhere else to go now but to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stir up our hearts this morning, believing in your goodness and your provision and your protection. I am the Lord's. He changes not. Therefore, I am not consumed. I pray for every person in here. We pray for ourselves, for strength, for hope, for faith, for joy. We stand on these things. That no matter what comes, we stand in the strength of the kingdom. And we thank you for it. Somebody asked me at the end of the service there, and I didn't make it clear, if you need one of those exemptions because of your job, if your job is threatened. Actually, somebody came up to me and said her boss really likes her and said, you need to get me an exemption from your church so that I have something to stand on so that I can stand against the pressure that I'm getting from head office. Okay, so if you need that, if you need an exemption, then you need to email us here at the church, and we're going to compile a list. Oh, I feel the anointing on this. We're going to compile a list, and so we can send you that, whether you're a student or an employee or a government employee, okay? So just email us info@southsidevictory.ca, and your email will go to Marby. Marby will make a list of those. And then we'll get that information out to you. I'm going to try and get all of that done this week. If we don't get it done this week, we will for sure have it done early the next week. Because we want to get it done before the end of September. For those of you that have the pressure, it's time to put a little pressure back the other way. Okay? So you got it clear. If you need that, you can info us. Another quick thing I got told. Somebody went for early voting. And when they went in, the people said, can you sign here for the contact tracing? And the lady said, no. She said, I am not required to give that information. And she walked in and voted. You are not required to give that information. That is your private information, and they have no right to take that from you. All in the name of contact tracing. Remember, we went through that as a church before. They got mad when I wouldn't give them all of your names. So just so you know, unfortunately, guys, it's time for us to begin to stand on our rights and say, this is my right, and I'm going to stand on this right. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you joy. Hallelujah. Let's shout once more. Come on. Hey! Be blessed. Have a great week.